Broncos fans. So, whatever. Am I good? I've not heard one person here beforehand going, oh, I love the Raptors. Oh. But this week on Facebook, oh my word, you came out, didn't you? Good grief. I'm watching it. I watched it and think, okay, let's get into this. Oh, I need to, oh yeah, pray for the kids. I'm getting the kids. Kids come out. I'm on a rant. I'm watching this basketball game, and I'm still not sure if it's a sport or a circus, but, you know, I'm watching all these giants of people, you know, plopping the ball in the hoop. If you're my size, you have no chance. Like, if you're my size playing basketball, you should get 5 points because you have to get a ball over a seven-foot person before you get it into. Anyway, that's my rant. Well done. Well done, Canada. You've won the basketball game. Okay, I'm going to pray. Also, great job for our worship team this morning. We're come to that time of the year when people go away and stuff, and so Devin gets a little sweaty and going, okay, I got to, you know, get up there, and the mic gets plugged into him, and good job. He's got a pretty voice. There he goes. He's got a pretty voice, Devin. Although I'm sure he'd be grateful for if anyone goes, you know, I really fancy helping out in the summer, especially in the worship. Let Devin know, because I'm sure he would love to have you join him. But still, great job. It was really good. Okay, kids, they're off. They've given up on me. That's fine. They didn't wait. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, this beautiful day. And we just praise you. We're going to come before you now and just dig into you. Father, we thank you for the kids. Bless them as they also dig into you. Pray as they grow in your name. And as we look at your word, Father God, Holy Spirit, just lead us, guide us, be at the center. And yeah, we thank you, Jesus, in your name. Amen. All right. And also, yeah, happy Father's Day for you blokes out there. Enjoy the sun afterwards. And don't forget to grab your treats. Jen said, watch out for the kids, that they don't steal the Snicker bars and stuff as you leave. There'll be the basket. I'm more concerned about the females. I don't know. I'm not so much about the kids. I'm looking out there and looking at what sly hand is going to grab some of this. So anyway, you know, you guys get your plants. We'll get this. Okay. Have we got the sermon up? Otherwise, it's going to be a short sermon. There we go. Okay. So my theme this morning is too good to be true. Is it too good to be true? You may have seen this kind of or heard this before. If it sounds too good to be true, then it probably is. Have you ever had those phone calls that come and say, congratulations, you've got a free vacation? I had one about, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago, and for some reason it was on loudspeaker, and we're in the kitchen, and this guy, in a broken English, said, congratulations, Mr. Blake, you have won a free trip to the, wherever, Hawaii, or whatever it was. I'm like, really? Jen's like, hang up. And I'm like, no, this could be it. This could be it. No. After about 10 minutes, I suddenly realized, oh, Johnny. Because it's that hopeful, and she would say gullible, but, you know, that hopeful part of me, that I'm like, maybe this could be it. But unfortunately, this saying, if it sounds too good could be true, it kind of is, mainly because there are people who take advantage of our trust, especially, you know, gullible British people who come over. I'm like, sweet, free trip to the Caribbean. I'll take that. But we've almost got into that place where we it's hard to believe something good because people take advantage of that. You know, a couple of examples here, kind of funny, but the maker Nutella, the chocolate spread company, in 2012 had to settle for $2.5 million because they advertised that Nutella was healthy. And some people bought it in droves for their kids, going, healthy snack time. And then when their child turned out to be, I guess, slightly large, they sued Nutella, and that's what that happened. Or in 2011, when Reebok had to pay $25 million because they advertise that you literally just had to put on their sneaker and you would have toned thighs and bums. That's right, thigh buttocks. Now, people put that on, they put their sneakers on, and they looked and were like, well, my bum's still big in this. And so Reebok got sued for $25 million because they're claiming something literally is too good to be true. And I kind of think about this as I read the Bible of how often people in the Bible don't quite get what God is saying. It's almost too good to be true. You read throughout the Old Testament with the Israelites, God promising that he's going to be the warrior. He's going to be the provider. You know, just stay close to me. And how often do they turn from that? Because it's literally too good to be true. God spoke to them in the Old Testament, in Exodus to begin with, and said, I want to dwell, build me a tabernacle, and I'm going to dwell in this. And then later on, build me a temple, and I'm going to dwell in this temple. And I read this week of Solomon, this wise, wise man, being told by God, build this temple, beautiful temple, and I promise I'm going to dwell in it. And as I read Solomon's prayer, we're going to read this, it kind of reminds us of somebody praying a beautiful prayer that you read in 1 Kings, but it's tinged with this, but really? Are you really going to do this? This is Solomon's prayer. He says, it starts with, but will God indeed dwell on the earth? Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. How much less this temple which I have built? Yet regard the prayer of your servant and his supplication, O Lord my God, and listen to the cry and the prayer which your servant is praying before you today. But the fact he puts in this prayer, in his prayer is, but will you really dwell in this temple like you said? You read about the life of Solomon, and we know he was a very wise man. But I think maybe his downfall, it wasn't his wisdom, because he had the knowledge. But maybe for Solomon, what he lacked was a true heart of faith. He had the wisdom and knowledge, but didn't always put it into action. For example, in chapter 11, after his great wealth, after all his success, well, he ends up marrying many, many women. How many women does he marry? 700. 700 wives, and then if that wasn't enough for the dude, he had 300 sex slaves. So he had 1,000 women going. Now, I could use this for my sermon 2 weeks ago, but we've moved on from there. But this wise guy wasn't very wise. Some of you guys are going, really? 1,000 women, but then he starts turning to other gods. And in chapter 11 of 1 Kings, this is what God says to him. This is what the Bible says. So the Lord became angry with Solomon because his heart had turned from the Lord God of Israel, who had already appeared to him twice. So saying God had already came before Solomon in his life, but because he just disobeyed, because this was just too good to be true for him to follow and obey, he turned and God got angry with him. And it leads me to this question this morning that we're going to look at. Is this. What are we missing out on due to our lack of faith? What are the blessings that we miss out on because we ultimately go, that's almost just too good to be true? What do we miss out on this earth, or maybe even beyond, because of our lack of faith? So I'm going to just run through a few big areas here. What are we missing out on because we're too cynical? First, huge one, salvation. This is what separates us between us and other religions, grace. This gift of God that he loves you so much that he sent his son to die for you on a cross. And that whoever believes, whoever accepts in your heart that is truth will have life everlasting, salvation. But maybe there's still some people sat here today and going, seems still too good to be true. Seems too easy. And yet that's where I see other religions almost add on, especially those who start off with the Bible and then add on, you know, other works or other deeds that you have to do or follow. And I think it's ultimately because they just can't get themselves wrapped around just grace of just this love, because he loves you so much, they send his son for you. And so if that's you this morning, my challenge and question for you is to after you leave this place, is to wrestle with that. Have I fully accepted that Jesus did love me that much that he sent his son to die for me? Because I don't want you to miss out. So I'm starting right up with the big show. Right there is salvation. I don't want you missing that out, because you've just been like, well, I come to church because it's a nice moral story, tradition, whatever. But ultimately it comes down to, have you accepted Christ in your life? Have you accepted this as true, not just a nice idea? Don't miss out. So there's salvation. The second, and I think it all goes from this one, it's next, is God dwelling in you, the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that God really wants to dwell in your life? I mean, Solomon couldn't get into his head that, or heart, should I say, that God wanted to dwell on the earth and in the temple. Now we fast forward, the curtain has been torn. God is saying, actually, I want to dwell in you. Holy Spirit, peace that's beyond understanding, that Devin was saying, dwelling in you, experiencing, not just when you die, but every single day. Or is that just too good to be true? I don't want you to miss out on that. I think it, for me, as I read the Bible, I feel it goes really hand in hand with salvation and accepting Jesus. I don't believe you get Jesus without the Holy Spirit. But have you intentionally asked to receive a peace in your life? Have you intentionally asked to receive wisdom, guidance, joy, love, whatever it may be? Have you intentionally said, God, I want you to dwell in me? Or again, is that just an idea too good to be true? The times in my life where I've just experienced God is just the best ever. There's been times that I've been awake at 2 in the morning, filled with anxiety, sweating, and all the rest of it. And I remember these times so well of just crying out to God. And I remember especially this one time, feeling this peace that I literally went, I don't get that. It's just crazy. I don't understand how I'm getting this good peace right now. And then I read about feeling this peace that's beyond understanding. And I'm like, oh, that's not just a nice tale. That is for us to experience. Have you experienced that? Have you asked to experience that? Or is it too good to be true? What about a closeness with our Savior? God desires communion with us, relationship, if you will. Do you really know how much God loves you? I mean, have you spent time getting to know our Savior? I mean, picture this. Just imagine if I were to once a week say to Jen, I love you. Once a week. Or even more so, write her a song and sing her a song. There's a reason why I mime on Sundays, so you probably, please, I don't do that. Because ultimately what we do on a Sunday is we're declaring a love for Jesus and we're singing love songs. But just imagine, I'm doing this just for Jen. I'm singing I love her, I'm saying I love her once a week. And then the rest of the week, I don't talk to her, don't ask how she's doing, don't listen to her, don't take care of any of her needs. If she says she's going through something, not listening, what would that be saying to her? But then on Sunday or whatever day, oh, I love you, I'm going to sing a song about you. What kind of relationship really would that be? I know that sounds simple, but it is simple. Is God now just going, great, you're singing praises to me, great. I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. I look forward to communion with you tomorrow. When was the last time you intentionally just spoke to your Heavenly Father? Cried out to him? Or just, even if days are good, because sometimes we just go when it's bad, But days are good. I want to get to know him. Pick up that Bible. I want to know what plan you have for me. You say you got a plan, God. I want to talk with you today. I want to get to know what you have for me this day. How can I serve you this day? God desires a relationship, and are we missing out on that relationship? Because it's almost just too good to be true that God wants this close connection with you. Do we really know him? Or do we know of him? I think there's two huge difference. Knowing Jesus and knowing of Jesus. Jesus says, my sheep, they know me because they know my voice. Do we know his voice? Do we hear his voice? Do we wait to listen for his voice? Or we just know of him? What about miracles? This is a tough one. This is one that I've been wrestling with this week. Have you ever prayed a prayer, let's say for healing, and it's not been answered? Or certainly not been answered the way you prayed it? I have. And how do you respond to those? Praying for someone that you love who has cancer, or praying for something, whatever it might be. Do you quit because of a bad experience or an experience that you weren't expecting? When was the last time we fasted? Or do we treat fasting like a lucky charm and tried it once and it didn't work, so we're like, well, that didn't work. Rather than seeing it as an obedience and a humbling of going, God, I care about whatever this is so much that I'm, and just being close to you so much that I would happily give up that food. I'd happily give up that meal just to commune with you right now. Just to lift up this thing that is just eating me up. Because that's how much it means. But the problem is that's uncomfortable, and we don't like being uncomfortable. And we doubts come in our head, well, will it really work? You may, in those prayer times, you may ask, God, where are you? Have you ever done that? When you're in a real trial, and you've been like, where are you, God? I have. And this week, as I've even been praying that at times, this thought came to me. And it's kind of back from the previous point, is we're very good when we're going through something to go, okay, God, where are you? But I just wonder how often God is saying that to me in my daily life. Johnny, where are you? Look up. Johnny, listen. I doubt myself at times when I pray for a miracle and it doesn't happen the way I'm praying it. I go, Johnny, do you even have faith the size of a mustard seed? What does that look like? And then I challenge myself as I look at that and I go, but maybe a faith like a mustard seed is actually turning to Jesus every day. Maybe a faith like a mustard seed is obeying simple commands like love your neighbor, like be compassionate, by feed the poor. Maybe that's what a mustard seed looks like, rather than waiting for something bad to happen and then not getting our way and going, God, where are you? Maybe a faith actually looks like an actual relationship. This is why I've been wrestling this week. But if you have been hurt in prayer, for whatever reason, maybe the answer was something what you weren't expecting or hoping for. Do we feel at peace that we go, maybe even death is an answer, if that death is in Jesus, a life everlasting in Jesus? say, God, your will, not mine, are we okay with going, really, your will, not mine? If you've had a difficult time in the past with prayer, don't quit. Maybe wrestle with it, talk about it with people. But I know that's what Satan wants you to do, is go, well, it didn't work, give up. Rather than go, no, I want to communicate with my Heavenly Father. I'm going to still bring this before him. Because I do believe he can move those mountains. And I'm just going to persevere in this. Maybe we miss out on some miracles because we have this cynical thought of maybe that's too good to be true. And then what about a warm embrace? Do we really believe that we are one day going to stand before our Heavenly Father? The God Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, do we fully believe that we will stand before him? And if so, do you care what he says to you? Do you care that he's going to say either, well done, good and faithful servant, or I don't even know you? Do we care? Do we really believe? Because that should shape so much. And I don't want any of us to miss out on a warm embrace because we've just been like, oh, it sounds nice, but I don't really believe that in your heart. You got the parable of the hidden talents that Jesus gives us, where three of those servants are given this money. Two of them invest. Two of them risk it. Do something. And are blessed. And are welcomed. But one of them was like, oh, no. That seems out of my comfort zone. That's out of there. I don't want to cross that line. I'm going to just bury it. Just keep it nice and safe. And hopefully I'll just be greeted warmly. Oh, how he was wrong. Maddie does figure skating. And the whole thing of figure skating is you practice and practice until you come to a competition and you get marked on your moves, your spins, and all the rest of that kind of stuff. And it kind of made me thought that's often in life, one day we're going to stand before our Heavenly Father, and I would rather be in the position where I've just served or just wrestled with things, maybe not got everything right, but at least stood before him going, I just wanted to put this in my life. I just wanted to put this in practice. I just wrestled with this. And God say, you know, you may have missed out on a couple of points here, but I saw your heart of just trying to serve, trying to respond, trying to worship, trying to be my child. Then I just didn't want to mess up. So I just wanted to play it safe. I mean, if Maddie went on the ice and just skated and just stood there, she would get no points. She would get more points because she tried a spin and maybe fell. And I think maybe are we just trying to live our life, trying to just keep ourselves comfortable, tick those easy boxes, whatever that might be, cling on and then stand before God and go, ta-da. And hope he's going to throw petals on the ice for us or whatever, right? Or are we going to pick up our Bible and go, okay, Jesus, you've taught me to love. And that man, my neighbor, he sucks. He's horrible. But you know what? You taught me to love him. And so I'm going to do that. Or you taught me to feed the poor and clothe the naked. And I don't have loads of stuff on me, but you told me to do that, and so I'm going to do it. And even if that means I'm poorer, I'm going to stand before you. And right? I'd rather be in that place than have a nice, comfortable life, try and tick, and then die in my sleep and go, yay. This is what I've been wrestling with. And I'm like, okay, God, is it too good to be true? Do we really grasp? We're going to stand before you one day. And is he going to go, did you even know me? Or did you just cry out when you wanted something? I don't want us to miss out on that warm embrace. And I don't think it's complicated. I think it comes from ultimately believing. Believing in who he is and believing what he says. And then being obedient as an act of worship. Thankful for what he has done. My final kind of thought relating to this is I think, and this is still a work in my mind, I think there's a difference between doubt in the battle and a lack of faith. And I'm going to give you two quick examples of why. The first is this, John the Baptist in prison for living and preaching and standing up for the gospel. Matthew chapter 11. When John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples, so his followers, and said to him, are you really the one coming, or do we look for another? Jesus answered, said to them, go and tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear and the dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. He's not rebuking John. He's not saying, where's your faith, John? John in prison, who's no doubt probably praying, okay, God, I would like to be out of prison, serving God, living it, but he's kind of having these doubts. God, am I really on the right path here? Can I just get a little comfort? And that's what Jesus does. He's like, you're doing good, John. Yes, you are right. You are on the right track. It's happening. Miracles are happening. You're doing the good thing. Keep on going. There's comfort in there in those moments when we're wrestling with stuff, doubting stuff, whatever, but we're going, I'm putting this into my life. I want to stand before him. Here's the second example. In Matthew 15, where Jesus approaches teachers of the law, Pharisees. And these Pharisees were having a go at the disciples for not keeping up to their traditions. And Jesus says, quoting from Isaiah, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. And just see, there's just two big differences there. One is somebody going, okay, I don't always get this, but I'm going to fight in it. I believe you are the Messiah, and I believe these are your words, and I'm going to follow it. But sometimes I may have doubts compared to the, this is what I know, I'm happy what I know, I don't need to know anymore. And that might be you on certain different levels. Whether it be salvation, whether it be prayer, whether it be being filled by the Holy Spirit, whether it be obedience, whether it be serving, whatever it might be, don't just settle. Don't just go, no, I'm content where I am. I'm comfortable where I am. Because I'm not sure that's what Jesus is calling us to do. Yes, rest in being a child of God, but a child is obedient. A child wants to please their Heavenly Father. My kids don't serve me just so I can say I love them, but I like to think that they'll listen to what I say or try to be now and again obedient because they love me. And then really, that's what we should be trying to do. It's not too good to be true. Let's not miss out on the grace. Let's not miss out on the gift that is Jesus now in our lives and for always because we became cynical or because something has happened. But let's keep wrestling with it. Yeah. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for this day. Thank you, Father, that you want to dwell in us. I mean, that is, even as we say that, I mean, you are the creator of all things. Mighty in power and majesty, ruler of all, is saying, I want to dwell in you because I love you. I want you to be with me always because I love you. Father, you know our hearts, and if there's someone here who has a hard heart for whatever reason, I pray for softening of the heart. Maybe it's to give up time to get to know you. Maybe it's to be obedient. Maybe it's just simply to accept that you are a God of love
do delight and that you did, you truly did send your son to die for us, and that truly we have everlasting life when we give ourselves, when we accept you with all who we are. It's that simple. Holy Spirit, we ask and invite you in, individually as a corporate body, to lead us, to guide us, to be the head of the church, to humble us, to teach us,